Welcome to Ujiria, broadcasting live from Business Radio X Studios. Ujiria is a Greek word meaning health of body and mind in aging individuals. Ujiria Radio is a weekly show celebrating the heroes that contribute to the Ujiria of our elderly and disabled population. Now joining us in the studio are your hosts, Sam Grass and Brad Culp.
Good morning. This is Sam Grass in Atlanta, Georgia. Joining me today is Lee Cantor, our executive producer of today's show. Good morning, Lee.
Good morning, Sam. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I have my name straight. So, as usual, I've messed up your name as of all names.
No, that's a new one. That's a new development.
Oh, yeah, it's new. That's exactly right. Joining us today in Dallas, Texas is Kevin Ritz. Kevin, are you there?
We are here.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Doing good. How are you?
Going well, thank you.
Good.
Well, why don't you take it away with your guest, and we'll come back in about 10 or 15 minutes.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you, Sam. Joining me today in Dallas, I have Dr. Amanda Mueller, who is an audiologist. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you.
Thank you for taking the time with us this morning. Why don't we start off by having you give us a little bit of your background, maybe where you're from, where you went to school, and how you came to be where you are today with Here at Home.
Sure. Well, I grew up in Norman, Oklahoma, moved to Texas when I was 18 to attend Baylor University. After I graduated from Baylor, I moved to Dallas for graduate school at the University of Texas at Dallas. I finished my Doctor of Audiology at UTD in 2005. Then I worked at a clinic for about 5 years before I started my own practice here at home. Now I see patients in their own homes for hearing evaluations and hearing aids. So, how did I get to be an audiologist? A lot of people usually ask if I know someone who wears hearing aids, or of course now I do. But growing up, I didn't. I actually just took some classes in college and really enjoyed them and decided that I liked it enough to apply for the graduate program. So I especially like it now that I get to kind of integrate the science and technology in hearing aids with working with the family so closely.
Well, that's great. So let's talk a little bit about what a house call for audiology looks like. How do you go about doing a hearing check at home, and what that all entails?
Sure. Well, when someone wants help with their hearing, they just give me a call. I go to their home for the hearing evaluation. I have mobile equipment. So I have an audiometer that I take with me, a sound level meter, all the equipment I need to do the full hearing evaluation. I just take it into their home, set everything up, and put earphones in their ears. They listen to the tones, tell me when they hear them, and I do the full hearing test right there. Then afterwards, we discuss the results. If hearing aids are an option for that patient, and if they're interested, then we'll discuss, you know, what kinds of things that they are looking for, what situations they want to hear better in, and how much noise they're in. And those are the things that will help me to determine which hearing aids might be best for that patient.
You mentioned the science and technology, and we talked a little bit before we went on the air about the ways it's changed so much. What are options? You know, a lot of people have the vision of the big thing in their ear, and I think a lot of people are afraid of hearing aids because they don't want the visual of that. So let's talk a little bit about what some of the options are for people.
Sure. Well, first of all, I hope that, you know, with all the Bluetooth earpieces that people will begin to be more comfortable with wearing something on their ear. I like to tell people that a hearing loss is actually more noticeable than wearing a hearing aid because, you know, if you're not responding appropriately in conversation or to jokes, then people are really going to notice that a lot more than just something sitting on your ear. But a lot of people ask about digital hearing aids, and pretty much today everything is digital. There are a few that are not digital, but pretty much everything is. Some important features are directional microphones that help a lot in noise. And a lot of the new hearing aids can actually switch their algorithms automatically so that when you're in a quiet place, they will sort of turn things up so that you can hear quiet conversation. When you go to a restaurant, it'll automatically turn that background noise down a little bit. It's not going to completely cut it out for sure, but it'll make it easier for you to hear what you want to hear. And as far as the styles or how they look on your ears, I really prefer the kind that sit behind your ear and have a little tube or a wire that goes into your ear. They're a lot more comfortable, they're easier to work with, and I think they look a lot better than kind of the old, you know, bubble gum in the ear style right. hearing aids.
So when somebody gets a hearing aid, what can they expect as far as what is the sound going to sound like? Is it going to sound, you know, robotic or mechanical, or is it going to sound fairly natural?
Well, and that's really, you're going to pay more in a hearing aid for hearing aids that sound more natural. Certainly with any hearing aid, it's not going to sound like normal hearing. You know, you have to have kind of proper expectations or still be sort of a microphone sound to any hearing aid. But certainly if you get the higher technology, it is going to sound more natural and sound better in background noise. So one of the newest technologies or features is the ability for the hearing aids to actually communicate with each other. And that allows the hearing aids to really kind of normalize where the sounds are around you, and it kind of puts things in their place. So for example, a few years ago, I would have been so happy for a patient to come to me after they got their hearing aids and say, I can hear the birds singing and it sounds like they're right in my ears. I would have loved to have heard that a few years ago, but the birds aren't really in your ears, they're in the trees, right? So with the new features, if a patient came to me and said, I can hear the birds and they're right there, they can point out exactly where they are, that actually is a lot better for me, because then it's a lot more natural to hear that way. Not everything is going to be right in your ears. So, but again, you are going to pay more for that ability and those extra features
okay.
to sound more natural.
You know, when we were talking about the kind of the fear people have of the hearing aid, and I mentioned to you earlier about a family member who's reluctant to go have this looked at. Do you have some ideas of how to start that conversation and possibly get somebody to the point where they go from I don't really want to okay, I need this, and to actually going to see somebody like yourself?
Sure. Well, certainly that person has to be very motivated on their own to get hearing aids and to do well with them. But some things that you might be able to do is just kind of point out that other people are really noticing how much trouble they're having understanding conversation. You know, if they're not picking up on things, maybe just point it out, you know, obviously gently, and if you know that person, then you'll know how to do that best. But point out that it's not just you or it's not just someone else. It's kind of everyone's noticing this, and maybe you should look into, you know, getting some help for it. And it might take a while, but we're trying to shorten that time from when someone notices hearing loss to when they get the hearing aid.
And I imagine that's a big benefit. Somebody like yourself who comes in, you can say, no, you don't even have to go to the audiologist. We can have them come here and do it in the comfort of your own home. So I imagine that's a big help.
Exactly. You know, for the busy CEOs, you know, who don't want to get out of the house, or, I mean, get out of the office, I can come right to them. Also, for people who just prefer to stay at home, it just makes it so much easier. What I also really love about it is that when I'm sitting there with my computer programming the hearing aids, I can actually go to that patient's living room, and I can see what does it sound like for this patient in their kitchen, or if they're in their kitchen trying to listen to their TV, and I can actually see on my computer the sounds, and I can adjust it for them. When I used to work in the office, I would make my best guess, and then they would come back later and kind of tell me, and I would adjust it appropriately. But now I can actually see what's happening where they usually
are. Yeah, being in the environment, I'm sure, is a huge help. I imagine that what you do, you see how you're affecting lives every day when you're getting people a hearing aid and they're able to now hear. What do you find most rewarding about what you do?
Well, I just love going back to follow up on the hearing aids, because usually that's when I hear how the patient's doing. You know, typically they're doing so much better. And then I love to hear from the spouses or whoever's living with the person how much better they're doing. I have a lot of great stories. One that comes to mind is a man whose daughter called me to see if he could wear new hearing aids. His health had been declining, and he wasn't really communicating much at all. They decided to get new hearing aids for him, and when I returned to follow up on the hearing aids, his daughter told me that he was doing so much better. He started talking again. They said his health even improved, which I was surprised at. I think because he felt more connected again and was willing to work with his caregivers, he started getting out more as well. It was so rewarding just to see such a dramatic change in his quality of life in just about 2 weeks.
Wow, that's great. you know, I think a lot of people also might be worried about the cost of something like this. Does Medicare pay for hearing aids?
That's a great question. It's one I get so often. Unfortunately, Medicare does not cover hearing aids. So typically hearing aids are, you know, a private pay issue. Every now and then I'll come across an insurance company that will cover a portion of it. Mm-hmm. So it is, you know, an investment. Typically they're going to cost in the range of $1,000 to $3,000 each, or even a little bit higher maybe, depending on the technology that you choose.
Okay. So if, you know, if Medicare doesn't cover it and they don't have insurance, are there other options out there to help defray some of the cost, or is it...
There are payment plans, no interest payment plans. I believe when I was in graduate school, there was a Lions Club in the area that would offer assistance for hearing aids. So check into, you know, there are some local programs that may be able to help as well.
Okay, and then also before we went on there, you were talking about an organization that you were involved with in school. Can you talk a little bit about what that organization is and what they do?
Yeah, when I was in graduate school, I worked with an organization called ComcareInternational.org, and the great people there developed and make very rugged solar-powered hearing aids for use in third world countries. They work with doctors in these areas and train locals to provide audiology services year-round. So when I went to Mexico, I helped train a girl through a translator to do more complex audiology testing. And we also fit those solar-powered hearing aids. For these patients, getting a hearing aid is truly life-changing. They can finally hear and join society again.
Wow, that sounds like a great organization. Is there a way people can find out if they wanted to help out with that? Is there a website?
Yeah, their website is comcareinternational.org, C-O-M-C-A-R-E. And then the word international.org.
All right, fantastic. If you had a piece of advice to give to seniors or loved ones who are, you know, approaching the time when they need to get somebody to see an audiologist and the hearing aid is becoming something that they need to pursue, what would you tell them?
Yeah, well, I would tell people to pay attention and be proactive so that they're thinking about their hearing. I know so many families are so concerned about health, you know, their physical health first, which obviously is so important, but don't forget about the hearing. If you think that your family member could be helped with a hearing device, go ahead and schedule an evaluation. The sooner someone starts wearing hearing aids, the easier it will be. Our brains have to take time to adjust to new sounds, but if you wait too long with that hearing loss and then get them, you know, say 5 or 10 years down the road, it'll actually just be a lot more difficult for your brain to adjust to the sounds. It might sound a little bit more distorted. And also just make sure you find an expert to program the hearing aids. Find a doctor of audiology.
Well, that's great. If our listeners wanted to get in touch with you, what's the best way for them to do that?
Sure. Well, my website is hearathome.us. And my phone number is 855-HEAR-AT-HOME. So again, my website is www.hearathome.us. That's HEARATHOME.US. Hearathome.us.
All right. Well, Amanda, we really appreciate your time with us this morning. And Sam, we'll throw it back to you there in Atlanta.
Thank you, Kevin. We appreciate all you do there in Dallas for us. And thank you, Dr. Moeller, for great information. Certainly appreciate you being our guest.
Thanks for having me.
Joining me today here in Atlanta is Larry Black. Larry is the president of a computer partner, and we're going to talk about what I believe a interesting topic, and that's how technology and our senior population interact. So good morning. How are you today, Larry?
Good morning, Sam.
Glad to have you as our guest. Why don't you begin by giving us a little bit of background on yourself?
A very, very varied background. I started as a DJ and got into the martial arts. I taught martial arts for 20 years, and while I was doing that, I discovered computers. And my first computer was in 1981, and from there, it just kept expanding and expanding until I got out of the martial arts and became a financial billing company. I did that so that I could learn to use computers even better in a more practical way, and became the IT director for a hot glove company that sold a foam, a heat-activated foam for baseball gloves. And when the company was sold, I retired and said, well, that's it. You know, I got my little piece of the pie, and now I'm going to play golf and relax. And I got very bored after 8 months and became IT director for a real estate company. Got into real estate, and then we all know what happened to real estate in the last few years. So I just decided that I want to go back to what I love, which is computers, and started a computer partner, and that's the name of the company. And I've been not looking in the rearview mirror, just looking forward.
That's great. That's great. Let's develop your broadcasting. It as you speak, it's very obvious that you have the tone and the quality of voice for it. Talk a little bit about how that developed and what you did.
When I first got out of college, as most 22-year-olds do, I was looking for a job. And there were not too many jobs available for people who graduated in pre-med, believe it or not. And I did get a job with a radio station and was at the radio station for 4 years. And while I had that job, I got a job at another radio station, and I built and ran the first disco in South Carolina. This is back in the days when we didn't know what disco was.
Yeah, you are dating yourself, and unfortunately, I relate to it. So.
Well, one of the reasons that I really enjoy working with seniors is because I realize I now am one. But from that experience, I was also practicing the martial arts at the time, and ESPN went on the air. This was 1979, and they needed to fill hours, and we convinced them that they needed PKA, full contact karate. So for 5 years, I was the voice of full contact karate on ESPN.
One of the I would have imagined one of the original broadcasts originating at ESPN. Is that true?
The first week they were on the air, we did our first show from Orlando, Florida.
Amazing. That's great. That's all very, very good stuff, and I certainly appreciate it. Let's kind of move on, though, to the topic at hand. And obviously, you do computer work, but let's try to relate that, as we were discussing off the air, as it pertains to seniors. I guess the first thing I'd ask you is, what do you see as a challenge that these individuals, the senior population, faces when it comes to the technology, the computers, the internet, and whatnot?
It's new. To them, it's like a foreign language. I don't know what it is. I don't want it. My life is fine the way it is. Why should I change? If I can relate a story.
That sounds a lot like me.
Well, the story is about my mother. When she was 76, we bought her her first computer, and she grudgingly accepted it, kicking and screaming, I'll never use it. I don't want it. And this year we installed her third computer. If her computer goes down for 5 minutes, I get a telephone call. And, of course, I can do a lot of my work remotely, so I remotely hook up to her computer and fix whatever the problem is, which is usually nothing. It's not a big deal. She's just afraid she's going to break it. And that's the biggest problem with seniors. They are afraid to touch it because they think they will break it. So I tell my mother, there's nothing you can do on that computer that I can't fix. Play with it. Have fun.
Now, are you finding that with computers today, there's the conventional desktop or laptop computer, but there's also the tablets like the iPad? Are those tablets more kind of user-friendly for seniors?
They may be user-friendly because of the touch screen. They may not, just depending on how tactile people are. However, I don't recommend tablets or even netbooks for seniors because of the size of the screen.
It's too small?
It is small, and most of the time you're looking for larger print. They have programs that will enlarge the print, but then you're looking at a very, very small window with large print, and you have to move it around to be dexterous, I generally recommend get the largest monitor you can afford and raise the resolution so that you can see it, and that way you'll enjoy it more.
Tell me, Larry, what is it that you think, or where do you think that the technology is going to lead the seniors in the next, let's say, 2 or 3 years? I guess the real question is, what technology are seniors going to really be accessing over the next couple of years?
In my opinion, it's going to be an interactive type of thing. They'll be able to not only contact their doctor from their home, the doctor can see them sitting in front of their computer screen. He can look at their color. He can say, stick out your tongue and cough. He can do everything over the computer, interacting with your family, looking at your grandchildren live across the country, keeps the older people younger. They feel like they're with them. And this is going on now, but I think in the next 2 to 3 years, it's going to be the norm and not the abnormal.
You know, that's a real interesting comment. I think you're probably right. But I, even myself, have this aversion to interacting in that manner. If I have something wrong with me, or if I feel like I need to see a doctor, I want that face-to-face personal contact. How would you overcome that? How do you overcome that?
I'm really not in the medical field. I was using that as an example of what may happen with computers.
Well, he means, how do you get somebody who's never used kind of a webcam or that experience to feel comfortable? I mean, not a doctor, but just anybody. Like, does your mother use the webcam?
She does, but only occasionally. She doesn't have one on her computer, but when my sister or I go to her house, we can hook up our webcam, we can hook up the microphone, and she's able to communicate with her children and grandchildren in Colorado.
Right, so she likes it when she uses it, but she's not fully acclimated where she can use it on her own just yet.
That's correct. You don't push a senior any harder than they will let you push.
Right.
We go one step at a time. Yeah. Now, I have some seniors that I work with that are so advanced that they teach me.
Uh-huh.
I offer tutoring classes. I do groups, individuals. I volunteer at some of the senior...
What are the activities that the seniors want to do? Is it mostly email? Is it play games? Is it go on Facebook? Like, what are the things that they're doing online?
99% is email.
Mm-hmm.
0.1% is going on the internet.
So they're the ones that are forwarding the jokes? Is that their role in the internet, is to forward jokes?
Absolutely. Those jokes go around the world.
You know, I think if I heard correctly, you said a very small percentage is really online to do what we call gathering information or whatever it may be. Is that what you were saying there?
In my experience. Okay. To give you an example, when I ask my mother over the telephone, go to the internet, she says, where is it?
Okay.
And I say, go to Google. Oh, okay. Because I created a homepage that was very simple for her, it's just the Google start page. It's okay to use a name brand.
Yeah, absolutely. They bother us. They might not like it, but it doesn't bother us.
They're big in the news. But because I set that up as her homepage, when she goes to Internet Explorer as her browser, a Google page comes up. So she calls it going to Google.
Mm-hmm. Is there a common denominator, a prevailing hindrance or problem that you see that's recurring in the senior population as it relates to technology and computers?
Fear is number one. Viruses are number two. It's so easy to click on a link that you should not click on, and before you know it, your computer's infected with a virus.
Right, let's explore that, because that's
that happens to you quite a bit.
I hate it. It doesn't happen to me quite a bit, but it happens. What is the one piece of advice you might give as it relates to keeping your system clean of viruses? What can we do?
Number one is always have a good firewall and a good antivirus system. Windows firewall, people criticize it, but it is a good firewall. There are other firewalls, so you know there are many available, and you shouldn't have to worry about it. It works in the background. Mm-hmm. I or any technician that's there will set up your firewall. A good antivirus program, and one of the things seniors fear is when a box pops up and says, updates are available. Do I do it? Do I not do it? If it's something to do with your antivirus, do it immediately, because the more updated your antivirus is, the more viruses it will catch and stop.
You know, that's my problem with using technology and computers, is trying to figure out what is legitimate and what isn't. And it's a constant, almost a constant game. And I get to a point where I just say, the heck with it. I'm not going to acknowledge anything. I'm not going to respond to anything. I'm not going to update anything, because I don't have time to try to decipher what is what isn't.
What's a scam? What's
real?
Exactly. Now, do you find that you know, I think most people, people that I've been using computers like you as long as you have, they just want it to work like their TV works. You know, you turn it on, you do what you want with it, and you turn it off. You don't want to be constantly, you know, my TV never says update these files in order to, you know, get the local news, or I don't have to do anything. I just have to enter, you know, it does something for me.
You have an old TV.
No, I have a pretty new TV.
Well, an internet capable TV will update
itself.
Well,
it's the internet. That's what I'm saying, is the internet and anything computer like adds a level of complexity that an appliance doesn't. And I think most people want their computer to be like an appliance.
You would think after 30 years of personal computers that they would figure out how much people would enjoy it. When you turn the switch on, it comes on.
Right, not 10 minutes later.
Yeah, it takes a two-minute boot up time. And while it's booting up and you see your desktop, you think, okay, it's done, but it's not.
Right.
It's still booting things in the background. I usually advise them, when you turn your computer on, go to the kitchen, get a glass of water, make a sandwich, and when you come back, you'll be ready.
And I can't tell you how many times that happens to me. I'm just like anyone else. I'm very busy, always under a time constraint, and I've got to get a file. I've got to get something out of a file. And so I boot it up, and I think everything's loaded, and I try to bring up whatever program, and it locks up, and I know now I have an additional 30-second, maybe even a minute wait while I'm, you know, in crunch time.
It's frustrating.
It is.
Yeah,
it's real.
So now, how do you coach your seniors with the computer? I mean, you have on one hand, they're afraid to break it. I mean, you already kind of covered that. But how do you, you know, there's so much stuff in there that you can't break it, but you can kind of make your life a little more miserable by, you know, trying to, you know, do something before it's fully booted up, or by, you know, clicking on a pop-up that was not really, like it said that it was, you know, going to update my computer, but it really was taking me off to some scammy site. How do you kind of work them through that? Because it's overwhelming for a novice, I would think.
Well, back to what we were talking about a second ago with the viruses. Another piece of advice that I give seniors, and everyone for that matter, is if you suspect that you have a virus because your computer is acting funny, you're going to a website that you're familiar with and it goes to a different website that you didn't choose, that's virus-related or Trojan-related. So what I tell them is, the more times you boot your computer by shutting it down, turning it back on, the more deeply that virus entrenches itself into your system. So if you feel that you have something funny, call someone right away, hopefully me, but it could be any technician that you're used to using. They can come in, and usually within a half hour, they can have your computer clean. Whereas if you continue to boot and try to fix it yourself and you're not really an expert, you're just going to let that virus dig itself in deeper until it's really entrenched in and it's hard to get rid of, and it could take hours to get rid of it. So that's the thing that I would advise them. Do it quickly if you think you have something wrong. Back to the other part that you asked. If you're ready to do that, if you know that you're in a learning mode, you're trying to learn new technology, you're going to try things, and yes, oops, you made a mistake. You clicked on something you shouldn't have, and you know it's going to cost you $50. You call someone, they come over, they get it fixed right away. You learn from that experience. You should never be afraid of learning.
If we have someone, a senior out there, Larry, who has really stayed away from technology, they're for lack of a better term, a virgin to the situation, how would you advise them as they start this process?
In the martial arts, my oldest black belt started karate when he was 66 years old. At 72, he got his second degree black belt. In the computer world, one of my youngest, 95 years young, my youngest clients wanted to do email, wanted to order his meds online, and he was not afraid. He dug himself in and he did it. He didn't want to. He was in his 90s when he started. If he can do it, you can do it. And, you know, if Duke can get a black belt at 72, a second degree black belt, then you can certainly use a computer into your 90s and 100s.
Let's talk about your company, Computer Partner, and what services would you offer to the seniors out there from your company standpoint?
Many, many different ways we're trying to interact with the senior community, and it's really funny to be talking about it because I didn't originally think that that was going to be the direction that I went, seniors. And a friend of mine convinced me that a book, I'm holding it in my hand, I'm sure you can see it over the radio, Senior Resources Directory, convinced me that this could be a good market. Mm-hmm. I decided that I would place an ad this year. The book came out the end of April. By February, I was already getting calls. Now, that blew my mind. So I said, how am I getting calls already? And the answer was that they put me on their website mm-hmm. immediately, and seniors were looking in the book, going to the website. They found my ad, and they started calling me, all based on the fact that I advertised, if you call it that, I sponsor the Senior Resources Directory with a small ad in their book. And from that point, I began going to meetings of senior providers, and that's how I found out about you and Eugeria. Mm-hmm. And I have been meeting more and more people, including the directors of these assisted living homes and places like that, and they are now recommending me to their residents when they need computer help, and I am recommending to the assisted living homes and other senior facilities to go Wi-Fi through the whole building so that seniors don't have to pay for internet individually, each person having to have a modem in their room for their computer and having to call Comcast or AT&T or whoever for their computer problems because they can't get on the internet. If the entire building, like a hotel, for mm-hmm. instance, was mm-hmm. Wi-Fi, then they just give the seniors the password, they log in, and they're on the internet without having to pay for it. It could be added to the fee that they charge the patient or the I don't mean patient.
The resident.
You know, the resident. Yeah. Or it can be a free perk to entice people to stay in their assisted living home rather than another assisted living home. But I think that's the wave of the future, that Wi-Fi is just going to be out there everywhere. And that way, if you wanted to step down to the lobby or to the pool with your tablet or your netbook or whatever, you're still online. You haven't lost it.
And obviously, you're seeing facilities, what we call facilities, assisted living, independent living facilities, move in this direction.
Absolutely.
That's interesting. And so that tells you where the usage in the senior population is going. I think it's a great statement.
Well, I've been told by the managers of these facilities that they are encouraging their residents to get their own computer. They will provide one or two computers in the lobby, and then there's a line going out the door to use it, to send an email to the grandchildren. And they're encouraging everyone to get their own computer. The prices are very, very low. Mm-hmm. And so that way you don't have to stand in line. You do it from the comfort of your room.
I don't know anything about your business, so I'll be honest with you, but it seems to me that if you could tap into that market, that assisted living, independent living market, and be known for the guy in that market.
What I discovered is the good feeling that I get. Mm-hmm. The seniors that I help are so appreciative. It makes me feel so good, and the motto of my company makes them feel comfortable. Mm-hmm. If your computer's not fixed, you don't pay. I don't charge a diagnostic fee, and that's what really ticks seniors off, wasting money. Take your computer to a shop and they say, well, it's a $90 diagnostic fee, but if we fix it, we'll apply it towards your bill.
Right.
That immediately tells you the bill's going to be over $90. Mm-hmm. And I say, no diagnostic fee. If you need a new computer and I can't fix this computer, I'll tell you to buy a new computer and I don't charge you anything. And if I do fix it, I charge you for the time I'm actually working. If something is updating or downloading and we're having a conversation about your grandkids, I'm not charging you for that time. And they appreciate that.
Yeah, especially that generation, I can understand. Yeah, that's very viable. That's a powerful statement. as we kind of wrap this up, if we have a listener out there, Larry, who might either have problems or let's go just starting to get into the computer technology world, is there one single piece of advice that you might give them as they start this exploration?
Actually, I would start before that. I would start with purchasing your computer. For your needs, you're not a gamer. You're not heavily into graphics and the things that really take a lot of computing power. You don't need to spend a lot of money for a computer. Put your money into the monitor. Get a monitor that's big enough that you can see what's on there and that you're comfortable with. Get a good chair. Don't skimp on the chair and sit on a little folding chair while you're trying to work at the computer. Make it comfortable. And if you have that, any computer will do your email, will let you go to the internet. And, of course, the faster internet connection you have, the easier it is to do these things.
That's fantastic. And I'm going to add, then I'm going to suggest that you call Larry and have Larry come in and set the whole thing up. That's what I'd have to do. I can go buy the hardware.
You do that? You help them set it up?
I do. I help them actually before that. I help them choose the computer.
You'll go with them to the store or you give them recommendations?
We usually do it online. They get it delivered right to their door.
Oh, and then you can show up and then install the whole thing and get them up and running?
I set the whole thing up, get it up and running.
Oh.
Sometimes within an hour, sometimes 2 hours it takes to set up a new computer, depending on what they want.
Right.
If they want the basics, I can do it in an hour or less.
Wow.
And our rates are half what the big boys are, if I can say that, $65 an hour.
The big boys you're saying are like kind of the department store, computer store people?
Everyone has heard the name Geek Squad.
Right.
I price myself off of them. They're $130 an hour. I'm $65 an hour.
Wow. And that's for a house call, you showing up at their house?
That's correct.
Got to love that, Tim. That's right up your alley.
That's right. That's exactly right. Larry, for the listeners, if they want to reach you, if they want to access a computer partner, how can they do so?
They can call my telephone, which hangs on my hip 24/7. It's 770-314-2400. And if they wanted to look at the website, it's www.acomputerpartner.com, with or without dashes between the words. But if you want to email, you have to use the dashes, larry@acomputer-partner.com.
Well, we thank you. I think this is a great information for our listening audience, and I thank you for being our guest today.
Well, I really appreciate you having me in.
No problem, no problem. Well, that's it for today. I certainly want to thank our guest, Dr. Moeller in Dallas, as well as Larry Black here in Atlanta. We want to remind our listeners that if they wish to listen to a rebroadcast of today's show, they can do that by accessing eugeriaradio.com. And in closing, if the youth of this nation is its greatest national resource, it goes without saying that the seniors of this nation is its greatest national treasure. Thank you and have a great day.
Eugeria Radio is sponsored by Griswold Special Care and broadcast live from the Business Radio X studios.